Reading from Acts, the 8th chapter. And Saul approved of their killing of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The city has a bad rap for impurity. Flint, Michigan made plenty of national news for its water impurities not so long ago. St. Louis for its unseemly riots in the summers. D.C. more recently all over the news for its rotten corruption. Wall Street greed, Hollywood smut, Vegas, well, what happens there is so impure that it needs to stay there. And we all know what's going on in San Francisco. The city has a bad reputation for housing the outcasts of our society, including the broken and the blemished, many living out on the streets. And that is exactly how those paralyzed and lame city dwellers in Samaria would have been viewed. Sin-ridden and written off by the self-righteous. The religious elite who would never, ever think to bring that which was disabled before the Lord's holy altar. Being surrounded by shrieking, impure spirits and the bottom of the barrel street people is no place for a holy man of God. And yet, there he was, Philip, in the midst of urban mission, in a city of a heretical nation. He went and he preached the word. He proclaimed the Messiah there in the city. And the crowds began to gather. And they listened. They listened to the word that he preached. And as they saw the signs that he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. They heard those impure spirits shrieking on their way out of those who had been possessed many years, maybe. They saw the paralyzed begin to move. They saw the lame stand up and walk before their very own eyes. And they heard this message of repentance and forgiveness of a Messiah who has come to rescue in body and in soul. Casting out demons, healing physical ailments, proclaiming the Messiah. It went from the sounds of impure shrieks to the sounds of joy in the city. Ah, but those demonic shrieks. Is this why we shy away from the city? The occult for sure. Impurity for sure. But the shriek of a mother whose son is gunned down in the street in a gang war. The shriek of a father whose child has just died of a heroin overdose. And all those people who are physically possessed by evil, the drug addicted, prostitution, evil incarnated, heretics in the city. Not the pedigree of where I come from. No. You know, it's interesting all that you can learn from your ancestry. I go back a couple generations and I see that I have the epitome of Lutheran pedigree. My forefathers on both sides of my family were charter members of LCMS churches planted at the founding of our synod. My great something grandfather was a pastor and also the second president of Harvard University. But go back enough generations, and I come from barbarians, pagans, heretical nations, where the people in the cities were worshiping nature or some false gods. Go back far enough, and in the garden city of Eden, you will see my forefather, who unleashed all that is impure by his rebellion and his disobedience. This is my DNA. This is who I am. A bottom of the barrel, side of the road beggar. Impure evil and sin possessed me and also my forefathers. Until someone like Philip came to town and preached the word to a bunch of heretics and told my pagan ancestors of the Messiah, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who took all that filthy impurity, the very sin that leaves me paralyzed and lame. Christ took it upon himself, persecuted, suffered, crucified, and died outside of the city and was buried, that I might be set free, that I would be healed, the evil cast out from within me, literally raised from the dead. Yes, there in the waters of baptism, the evil shriek could be heard all the way to the bowels of hell. But the heavenly city was filled with joy that day. Like Philip and Stephen, in time of persecution and martyrdom in the city, brothers and sisters, it is through compassion, suffering, and even death that the gospel is driven in a diaspora scattered to the ends of the world, caring for bodily needs of the poor, confessing the faith, proclaiming the word of God. And even a man like Saul, who tried to destroy the church in the city of Jerusalem, will become the most unlikely of city missionaries, planting new churches in pagan lands. This is the theology of the cross. Through sacrifice, suffering, imprisonment, and yes, even the blood of martyrs, God will build his church and will send us to the most unlikely of places, the nations that are gathered at our doorsteps, to the least and to the lost. Yes, through our lens of the cross, do you see it? Do you see it through this lens? The battered woman, the sexually abused child, the addicted grifter, the trafficked teenager, the lonely widow, the unborn, even in their frailty and in their suffering, we see jewels of incalculable worth. The treasure that the Son of Man would sacrifice everything for to buy that field where it is buried. And so we will scour the city to seek out lost treasure. And from the fleeing shrieks of evil, we'll turn to the sounds of joy in the presence of Christ. As the world watches and listens and pays close attention to this message of salvation delivered from those who live under the cross. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake, persecution will come to the church. Suffering will come. Imprisonment will come, just as it did for those first disciples who were driven from the city of Jerusalem. Now, in the midst of a modern-day diaspora, godly men will bury our martyrs around the world, and we will mourn deeply for them. But we will not stop proclaiming the Messiah as we are sent to preach the Word of God. Knowing that for all of our crying and mourning in the city, the day is coming soon when the holy city of New Jerusalem, like a bride adorned, comes down from heaven along with the Messiah. And on the last day, on the last day, the sounds of grief and mourning will turn to the sounds of pure joy in the city. His day will dawn, brothers and sisters. Of that you can be sure. A day of victory and a day of great joy. And make no mistake, it will be a day that will never end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.